Yeah, I'm scary.
I know. I know. But you're storytellers. You're not afraid of it. And if you are, just remember, it's fiction.
I want to try one more thing out of writing the breakout novel in the workshops. I thought we'd try something that also gets to the sense of bigness in the story. Make some notes as I ask you some questions bearing your novel in mind. In your novel, is there one character who can be forgiven by another? If you have that already in your story, great, congratulations, I'm proud of you. Do it again.
Can you repeat that, please?
Who in your story can be forgiven by somebody else? What is being forgiven? Let's construct some forgiveness. What can be done wrong, and who will have to forgive? How can you make it difficult to forgive? How can you make it impossible to forgive? How can the wrong be so wrong that it cannot be forgiven? Can you work out a way for it to be forgiven anyway? Oh, yeah. Don't you love moments like that in a story? It's eternal, that. Story of the Prodigal Son. I'm going to redeem myself now, okay? Story of the Prodigal Son. You don't remember that story from the Bible, right? Father, rich landowner. Gives the inheritance to three sons. Two of them invest their inheritance. Double it, triple it, or whatever. Do the right thing. Third son goes out and spends it on a good time. Loathe it. After a while, miserable, beaten up, destitute, even, you know, doesn't even have any clothes anymore. He comes home, and the father welcomes him home and forgives him. Not only that, he throws him a feast. The other two brothers are understandably bitched out about this thing. But the father says, my son who was lost has come home. Wow. Wow. That forgiveness is awesome. It's moving. It's powerful. It's one of the most profound human acts we can perform, to forgive. Can you do it in your story? If you thought of it, if you wrote it down, put it in. Your story will be bigger. Here's some other things. In your novel, is there a character who can sacrifice himself or herself in some way? Can they give a gift or give up something dearly loved? Can there be a gracious giving of something, even something personal, even possibly, depending on the kind of story you're writing, one's life? Self-sacrifice is another very, very powerful element in the story. If there's a place for it in yours, use it. In your novel, is there a character who can change direction or even change sides? Desert, go away, betray, even your protagonist. Ooh, ouch. Is she going to have an affair? Oh, yeah. It's Valentine's Day, folks. We got to puncture the balloon here. Hallmark cooked it up. We're just going to... In your story. the storytellers. We're about wreaking disaster on people's lives, right? Good. The storytelling. So who can betray the protagonist? These things hurt. And when you hurt characters that your readers are involved with, that your readers are cheering for or emotionally connected to, it's going to hurt your readers too. And you know what? That's good storytelling. Big storytelling. You know, these things hurt you in life. Get married a couple years ago, and I've been married before, and my other siblings have been, you know, best man or whatever. It's time for my last sister to stand up with me, so I said, hey, Peg, will you be my
stand up with me? Will you be my best person at my wedding? And she looked at me and she said, I don't think I can do that. Oh, whoa. Whoa. I said, why? She said, it's me, but I'm just not in a place where I feel good about that. Said, okay, plan B. A short while later, she met somebody. She got married before I did. She called me up one day and said, I can do it. Oh, man. And she did. She stood up with me. I'm so proud. One of the best moments of my life. Can you do this in your story? You wrote it down, put it in. All right, what else? In your novel, is there a character who faces a moral choice? Or can you construct a moral choice in your story? What is a moral choice? Let's talk about that. A choice between right and wrong is not much of a choice. That's an easy choice. We know what we want the character to choose, the right thing. A moral choice is tougher. A moral choice is a choice between two rights or two wrongs. How can you construct a moral choice in your story, one that's difficult to make? Make the two rights righter or the two wrongs much worse. And then force your character to choose. They're the only one who can choose, and they must choose by a certain time. How can you do that? If something occurred to you, write it down and put it in. Finally, one more thing. Is there somebody in your story who can die? Kill them. Deaths, especially if it's somebody that we don't want to die. Look, if your antagonist dies at the end of the story, the villain, you know, gets his just desserts, you know, we're all going to cheer. That's nice. But come on. Kill somebody you can't afford to lose. Who would that be? I know you're thinking, not the dog. Okay, not the dog, all right. Yo, I hate Mel when you do that, but... But who else? Who else can you kill?
Yourself. The agent.
Don't kill the agent. It helps your story go right ahead. On paper. Plot it out like a Douglas poem. Okay, listen, I want to take just a couple of minutes to tell you a bit about and give you one example from a new book that I have coming out. This May from Writer's Digest Books. It's called The Fire in Fiction, Passion, Purpose, and Techniques to Make a Novel Great. Briefly, this book was occasioned by the observation that certain novelists hit it out of the park, write a great, great novel every single time, and other novelists let us down once in a while, or pretty much from their second book onward. What are those master novelists doing that the others aren't? I mean, not in terms of their process or their inspiration or their intelligence or anything like that, but what are they doing actually on the page that other writers aren't doing? What are the techniques, the storytelling techniques of mastery? That's what I was looking at in writing this book. And I looked at it from a number of different points of view. What makes a protagonist a hero or a hero human? What makes characters exceptional, especially antagonists? How do you construct a scene, any scene, so that it's a scene that cannot be cut from your manuscript? You know those scenes, the ones you're not sure are working, you'll go back to again and again. There's a way to make them absolutely vital to the story. And that's what master storytellers do. How do you create the world of the story and bring it alive? What does it really mean to make character a setting, or setting a character in the novel? What is that really like on the page? How does that really occur? How do you develop a unique voice for yourself? What makes the implausible in the story, and every story is implausible to some degree, what makes that feel absolutely convincing and real? What is that technique? I took it from thriller writers who write thrillers about things that can't really happen, or very, very unlikely to happen. They scare us to death anyway. How do they do it? We all can learn something from that. How do you heighten in a novel? Not just descriptively, but in many ways, the techniques of satirists are very instructive for all of us. What is microtension, and how does it really work? It's the secret of what makes a book a page-turner, and we can all use it. And finally, what is passion in a novel, and how do you write passionately every day and in every scene? There is a way to do that. That's what the master novelists do, and we can do it too. I want to try one thing, very quickly, from an upcoming workshop that I'll be teaching up in Seattle, I think we can end November this year, Fire and Fiction Workshop. Your protagonist. Is your protagonist an ordinary person? Regular Joe or Jane to whom extraordinary things are going to happen. Okay, fine. I'm down with that. But what makes them heroic? What makes them, in other words, good? What makes them a good human being? Write down for me one good quality that your ordinary protagonist has got. Something likable. Something inspiring. Something principled. Kind. Even funny. What is it? Got it? All right, now. Work out. Work it out now, or work it out later today or tonight. How can you get this quality on the page within this character's first 5 pages in the story? How can you make this ordinary human being heroic in a small way, even in a small way, for your reader right away? Later in the book isn't going to do you any good. A character that we can care about, who inspires us even just a little, will get your reader emotionally involved right away. And that's what you want. Now, what if you're writing the kind of story where your protagonist is a hero? A James Bond, a special op, a crack detective, a superhuman. Problem solved, right? No. No, 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 no. Characters like that, if they're too perfect, will not be credible for the reader. So the job is to make them human. What is, if that is your kind of protagonist, what is one way in which this protagonist is as human as you or me? Might be a flaw. Might be something funny. Just something ordinary, even. Some way in which they are real, just like us. Can you get that in the first 5 pages of this character's appearance in the story? If you can, put it in. And your superhuman protagonist will become real and accessible for your reader, rather than the son of a character that they don't believe in. Well, folks, if you are interested in the kind of work that we've been doing for the last 45 minutes, I have on the end of the tables here some handouts with dates of workshops that I'm teaching this year. Breakout novel intensive, week-long intensive workshops, 3.5-day long workshops on the subject of microtension and how it works. It's a focused workshop on the subject of tension, and tension only. The most essential thing, if I could only teach one thing, it would be that. And then in November, the Fire and Fiction Workshop, the new one that I'll be offering. So take a flyer if you're interested in that stuff. Also, by the way, up here, right next to the podium, some information on a scholarship that we'll be giving this year for the first time to one of these workshops. So check it out if you're interested. I think we have time for a half a question.
Don't forget to mention that you're going to be at the Big Fair Fiction Writing Workshop in the first weekend of March.
That's right. 2 weekends from now, the Big Sur Writing Workshop down in Monterey. My wife Lisa Reckon-Moss will be there. So if you're going, great. We'll look forward to seeing you. If you're not, sign up. Yes.
Okay. I'm working on a comedy book. How could you don't want to get too involved with problems and crisis and that kind of, but how can you use some of the themes that you're talking about in a comedy?
What about a comic manuscript? A satire, that's the most common form of comedy and fiction, or
a farce or something.
Or a farce, madcap.
Yeah.
You know, there are writers who do that. Christopher Moore, Tom Robbins, I mean, you know, we can Tom Crow.